Yes, I'm so happy to have the follow-up Rogers on this because I could continue by saying that he's echoed a
I
lot of
mean,
what I was
they
going to say.
forget together
He
sometimes.
did, but let's not get into our
Sorry,
efficiency on the free concrete field.
sorry.
So wellness is actually physical, spiritual, and mental well-being. And
Yes.
so in this particular forum, we have our duty to look after spiritual well-being in the current forum. In terms of planning for the future, it's very hard to predict because no one last year, this time, could have predicted where we've been today. We don't know about vaccines and its efficiency, how well it will work. We don't even know if, like many other viruses, a reinfection is a real phenomenon or not. So it's very hard to look too far ahead to really plan. But what we must do is be prepared and respond to what the science and what the social circumstances thrust upon the religious groups and respond to it. Many of us will have to resort to our spiritual self because there's a psychological component, and the spiritual health during this time is actually very important. And we've heard a lot about mental wellness and stuff, and I think that kind of overlaps significantly with spiritual wellness. And a good sense of spiritual health helps in the mental aspect as well. So, in summary, basically, it's hard to really cut a path of what the future will be when we don't even know what the future of the virus and the direction will take in Barbados. And we must remind callers again that we in Barbados have a very unique situation where we are still here questioning whether masks be worn or not and so on because we are becoming complacent. And comfort in the knowledge that in the last 3.5 to 4 months, we've had only one local, and everything else we've seen in news or at our borders. And that's a blessing we have in this country, but let's not be complacent. And the very impact of this thing is still real, and it's still, as we discuss surges in Europe again and other places, we sit in Barbados, it's sort of our comfort zone, and we're not complacent about that, but count our blessings in that regard.
All right, let's go back to the telephone lines. Perhaps we have a lot of calls we want to clear. They might have questions for the panel as we come into the final furlong. Pleasant, good afternoon. You're live on Brass Tacks Sunday. Go ahead with your question, please.
Afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you, sir, on the panel?
I'm giving thanks. I'm sure that the clergy, they're also doing the same.
Yeah,
giving thanks.
I need to ask a question.
Go ahead.
How many ways of catching the virus that you call COVID?
I will put that question straight to the medical doctor, Dr. Mohammed.
You need to hear. Repeat it.
His question was, how many ways are there to contract COVID-19?
Hello?
Yeah, just 1 second. We are just getting that straightened out.
Sorry, I had my microphone on mute. Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Yes. So what we do know is that it's a respiratory tract infection and spread via the respiratory areas. So droplet infection, how it's transmitted, whether it's through direct contact of hand to face. So it's a good time to sort of reinforce the basics. From day one, it's always been said, hand washing, covering your face, preventing not touching your face and preventing that transmission route from hand to face. That still stands. While we get carried away with all the vaccine and how long the virus lives on our doorknob or whether it lives elsewhere and so on and so forth, the fundamentals have not changed. It enters the body by the respiratory airways, and we just do all we can to prevent that from happening by wearing a mask and keeping our hands on face and hand washing. That doesn't change, and that's the fundamental that we must stick to and adhere to.
Okay, the reason why I asked that, I understand that in China, it is developed by some wild meat. That's one. Then I understand it was by touching. Then I understand it was by inhaling, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I check them, I think I get about 4 ways as such, right? But I will leave that there. Now, with the mask, right? I have no problem with the mask, right? It's left to me, I won't wear a mask, but I will give you the reason why I wear a mask. I wear a mask because if I got to get into the Zadar van, right, and the rules of the Zadar van, I cannot get in, it means that I will not be going anywhere. So I have to use the mask. So at the Zadar van, once they don't carry that protocol, then it gives me freedom not to wear a mask. As a form of discipline,
mm-hmm.
coming to the church, if the church used the same scenario in which I'm saying that you cannot come in the church unless you have on a mask, then we will find people using the mask more regular. I'm also saying that if you have on a mask and you can talk, you can also sing, because if you talk in the mask, one will hear you. If you sing in the mask, one will hear you. Because sometimes I find when they're singing, right, sometimes you can't even hear the words or get a thing. So I want the religious person in the building, because I understand the church is the people where they gather. So all of us are in church. Now, with the breathing, I don't think that they teach a lot of people how to breathe in the mask. But this is how I breathe in the mask, because I use mask not the first time. I use mask for spraying and different type of things.
But what kind of mask do you use?
Well, regardless of what mask I use, right? I use the one that... let me answer your question, because you should answer direct. I use the one that you have, that you sling over. You buy it in the supermarket as such. It has one that you have a little metal wire to the top.
So this is the blue, like the blue cloth one?
Well, I don't know if it is blue or white or such, but right. It all seems to be...
I know the one you mean.
Right. Now, I can keep on that for 2 days or 3 days and still breathing, because this is what I do. Is that there's certain times I breathe through my mouth in the mask and through my nostril, right? But if you keep your mouth closed for a period of time and you just breathe from your nostril, it kind of buffers, because you're not getting fresh replacing you. So I would like some people to try that. And the reason why I get that is by swimming, a lot of people get drunk by closing their mouth, right, and breathing, and they get tired, and eventually they panic and they think. But if they still let the water pass through their mouth and get the oxygen from like the fishes does, it would do a lot for them.
All right, caller, I want to thank you for your call, and thank you for very much for your question that you have posed to the panel. We're going to have to move on. We have a lot of calls, and we also have a couple of messages. I mean, I want to ask Pastor Danforth. Is he still with us, Pastor Danforth Francis?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
My apologies, because I accidentally omitted you in the question I had put to the panel. Perhaps it's because I'm not seeing you. That's why.
Right.
Before I come to you for your submission on the matter that I just asked, I want to just read this from Dr. Kevin Kelman. He says that he's responded to Dr. Monsieur's question. He says, once a person has recovered from COVID-19 and has been declared negative by two successive COVID-19 tests as per protocol, they're no longer infectious and should be allowed to resume coming to church, participate, and minister as normal. However, they are still to adhere to standing protocols as other persons who were not infected. That's Dr. Kevin Kelman. Thank you so much, Kev. Now, let's go to Dr. Danforth for his thoughts on post-COVID-19 environment in the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak on that. I want to support what has been said by my colleagues. But as a church, be very strong in biblical understanding and prophecy, we suspect that this will not be the last pandemic. And therefore, in our theology, in our thinking, this may just be the beginning rather than the end. And so in that sense, what we have done, I think we are prepared to continue to deal with the challenges that this particular pandemic causes and also future pandemics. So our understanding of Matthew 24, 4 through 7 and 8 tells us about what will happen in what we understand as the last days. Mm-hmm. We believe that Christ is coming is going to be the great event that will take us out of this world of sin and suffering. So that would be the hope side of it. But on the practical side, we have, during the pandemic, and we will continue, we have webinars online, webinars on Zoom, dealing with family issues where our members, because they have been locked in, mm-hmm. the psychology and the sort of the problems associated with that. We've had youth programs. We've had educational programs to our schools. We've had structured programs helping people to manage their finances well. And as I said, we are very strong in health. And even tonight, we will begin a health wow. week. We are talking about COVID-19 and non-communicable diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And we are bringing some of the experts.
Where is this happening? Is this online?
This will be on the church website. It will be on YouTube and Zoom.
Right.
Eastgard.org website. And you can get it there every night this week. We will be having a program on health for the community. We will also try to rebroadcast it after it's finished and different. I cover Barbados and Dominica, so we have it rebroadcast on the radio stations and on the TV station here. But it will be live every night on YouTube on the church's website, eastcarib.org website.
Pastor Francis, I want to ask you directly. Do you believe that we're living in the last days based on what you've just
certainly,
said?
Certainly. We could see it from the frequency, the increase of storms, the problems, the political problems, the challenges, the morality or the lack thereof. Our communities have become now places where those who do not want to live neighborly believe that they can eliminate people. And so as you look around the world, you can see all that the Bible suggests would be in the last days is happening. So, you know, we also had webinars on for children, and we obviously are sharing program where we distribute literature. So our ministry will continue. As the circumstances change, we will try to adapt, but we will try to minister to the entire person, not only the soul, as some people will say, but we believe in wholeness and wellness. So that's how the Seventh-day Adventist Church is responding and will continue to respond. And as it changes, we will adapt using all the possible medias to communicate the message and how people can have hope in spite of the circumstance. We've had also to bring that message of hope through, we call it campaigns. So we've had virtual campaigns, and we will have some more virtual campaigns. We will have another one beginning on the 3rd of October, where we will want to speak to the community again and give hope under these circumstances.
All right, look, we have to break immediately. We have some breaking news. This is Brass Tack Sunday.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form play for boxing.
Big or small, Appalachian Metals, we have it all. Appalachian Metals, we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to Brass Tack Sundays. We've just got about 15 minutes left. Pastor Danforth Francis was giving a really good summation there, as well as the other panel. I'm going to get back to them to get their thoughts in a moment. Still want to free up the telephone lines. We've got a couple more. Thank you, Keith Goddard, for that breaking news story. We really hope and pray that things will go well for the family of that lady. Of course, it's a very sensitive time. Hello. Welcome to Brass Tack Sunday.
Good afternoon to you, Barry.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
And to your distinguished guests. Now, I'm a first-time caller to... Hello, are you...
Yes, hello. We hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good. I'm a first-time caller to VOB.
Congratulations.
Barry, you're doing a good job, a fantastic job. I didn't realize that you're all-rounder. Your all-rounder skills are coming out.
Thank you very much. Be careful with that word all-rounder these days, you know, but I understand where you're coming from.
I meant in the moral...
you're naughty.
Thank you, but go ahead. Thank you very much.
Okay, good. No, I just would like to publicly, you know, laud or congratulate the PM, Mayor Mortley, Prime mm-hmm. Minister, for the expedience and the proactivity dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah, I think she did a fantastic job along with all her ministers and workers.
Yes, indeed.
Barry, I don't know if I missed it, but I did not hear the word prayer during the discussion because I was on before the news. I was waiting before the news. I had no prayer to that. I didn't hear the word prayer at all. Right, but I just want to add here, Barry, and to your distinguished listeners, that prior to the COVID pandemic, we, on March the 4th, we called a number of leading clergy and elders across Barbados. In fact, we were on a radio station every hour on the hour praying, not only for Barbados, but for the entire Caribbean islands. Mm-hmm. And including the Prime Minister, she sent a prayer in, which was read by Senator McConney. And we were also at the Jubilee Gardens all day praying for this country and praying for the countries across the Caribbean. So I just want to say we should never underestimate the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we were hit as hard as I think we were cushioned to some extent from the COVID-19. So we have to include prayer in most of the first of the things that we should do is to go to God first. Of course, we have to work as well because the Prime Minister did the work and all the people, and she was inspired. The second thing is, I'm just wondering how the churches that administer the communion, the symbol of the bread and the wine, how they are conducting that, because I know sometimes in some churches they use a chalice, and this is not an indictment against any church right now and denomination. They use the chalice, and is it possible that the COVID could be spread by way of the chalice, or how is that done, or are they coming up with new methods to minister to the people in that regard?
Let me ask that straight to Dr. Rogers.
Hi, yes, caller. In the Anglican Church, we have suspended the use of the blood of Christ. We are having communion only in one kind. In fact, just during the course of this week, we had a meeting with the bishop, and we are working on it at a provincial level. So we are awaiting word from the Archbishop of the West Indies so that all the provinces, all the dioceses in the province will be uniform in terms of how we go about when we return to communion in both kinds. But right now, persons only receive the body of Christ, that is the bread and not the wine.
I will also add to that, in the Methodist Church, my mom is a devout Methodist, and they're now serving the blood of Christ, the wine, in a sealed vial. Yeah. That's a plastic seal vial.
Okay.
So that's also another method that is being used in the Methodist Church.
I think Dr. Francis would also confirm, I believe in the Adventist Church as well, they have similar methods for a number of years.
Yeah, in the Seventh Adventist Church, we use individual glasses.
Individual glasses, right.
So each person would receive his glass of wine. But even that, we are trying to make that as safe as possible, mm-hmm. so that we are encouraging people to bring their own utensils and wine, and then we'll have it blessed in the church, and then the process will continue. That's what we are doing in some instances, that where we do have it, we use the individual glass, and so we mm-hmm. have communion in both kinds, bread and wine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So caller, I hope that answers your question. And I must say,
Barry.
Yes.
Barry, this is Sally here.
How are you doing? I recognize the voice, but the voice sounded younger, so I didn't associate it with you.
I'm getting younger.
It's so good to hear you, and thank you so much. I should have put two and two together when you said you had the event in Jubilee Gardens.
Yeah, March 4th. Yeah.
March 4th. Well, I look forward to you organizing something similar. Pretty soon in a more protocol manner.
Yeah, I'm sure that the powers that be, would also consider doing the same thing. And I don't mind participating or giving 100%,
All right, thank you.
Okay, Bryce, and to your guests as well.
Before we go back to the guests and the calls, just one second, let's let you know that there's a call for an urgent water tank or water tanker in Clapham. There's no water in Clapham. There's also no water in Four Hills and Lonesome Hill, St. Peter. So that's just an urgent call there for water tankers in the area. Yes. Someone just called my name. Is it Pastor Danforth?
I'm here.
Sorry. Go ahead, Monsignor.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to respond to the question that you were asking concerning reception of Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
Because for centuries, the Roman Catholic Church had the practice of receiving communion on the one kind. And that was, some literally refer to bread, but we would say when you receive Holy Communion, you're receiving the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And you don't separate them into body and blood. And so we've had no problems with COVID because it's just a practice. As a matter of fact, in few places you would get where people receive the chalice in the Caribbean. Yes, it's widespread. But you go to Europe and America and so on, it is not that widespread. But it has a theology. And I think that the theology, the underlying theology, which is what you've heard called, that was a big problem in the Reformation period, was transubstantiation. That I, as a priest, when I consecrate bread and wine, it becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so some people cannot receive the bread. Some people cannot receive wine, but they could receive one and they would be receiving the entire thing. So that is a bit of theology that I wanted to share with you. And I, you know, more and more people are beginning to see that there is a truth about that theology.
All right. Thank you for importing that. Let's go back to the telephone lines. We got to wrap up shortly. Good afternoon. You're live on Brass Tack Sunday.
Good afternoon. It's always absolutely business. And I'm going to ask a question to Monsignor Vincent. But first of all, mm-hmm. the Rite of the Mass is very important. And when it was first worn in Southeast Asia, it was worn particularly to protect other people from the person wearing the Mass. There's a difference. There's a difference in mindset between the people in Asia and the people in the West, because it's actually, like I said, used to protect the people who are not wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that they have a kind of a community spirit in Southeast Asia, whereas in the West we have more of an individual thing. That's the way they put it. That's the way that was actually analyzed. So again, the mass is very important. No, Monsignor Vincent. In his collection of the traditions, did you see this ever collect anything like describing a pandemic? And if so, what was the procedure used for it?
Did you hear the question, Monsieur Vincent?
No, I didn't. I've been straining to hear, but no.
Can you just repeat that question a little louder, caller?
You might have to repeat it for me, Barry.
He pronounced a couple of words there biblically that I don't want to you know, make a muddle of. But on that note, what he was essentially saying, and he was trying to reference what I asked earlier to Pastor Danforth about the last days. Do you, Monsignor Vincent, do you, Dr. John Rogers, and do you, Dr. Muhammad, do you believe that we are in the last days?
If I were to err on one side, it probably would in that direction. I always remember when Pope John Paul II was made Pope, and he gave his first encyclical letter. He said something there that has left many of us with our eyes open. We do not know what the end of this second millennium will bring us.
Mm-hmm.
Then he raised a question, as though somehow or another he saw that the times we are in seem to be far approaching when we could look for the Redeemer of man. And I will leave it at that, because we are always told not to speculate and not to give time from Jesus's time. You don't say when, where, or how, but we must be prepared like good scouts. Be prepared should always be our motto.
Dr. Rogers?
Well, just following on from what Monsignor would have said, as a church, we follow a liturgical cycle which begins with a season called Advent, because as Christians, we are all Adventists, not necessarily Seventh-day Adventists, but Adventists in the sense that our entire faith is geared towards the second coming of Christ. And so the church is constantly in preparation, but we follow Jesus' words to his disciples before his ascension in Acts chapter 1. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, but you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the church continues to minister mm-hmm. with this advent, this hope of the advent. As to when it will come, it is not for us to know, but if it comes tomorrow, we ought to be prepared. One Jewish rabbi used to say to his followers, make it a point to repent on the day before you die. And they asked him, how will we know which day is the day before we die? He said, that's just it, repent every day. And so that is the way we continue to minister
yeah.
in our world. But in terms of pandemics, I just want to make the point that, listen, COVID-19 is a part of the creative order. This is part of what happens in our world. It is nothing new. And I would like to impress upon us that, you know, just to stretch the theology of the Exodus a little, that one of God's greatest acts in the history of his people came as a result of a pandemic. And he didn't tell them, go outside and jump up. He told them, go and sit down in your house, mark your doorpost, the angel of death will pass over. And when that is finished, you come out. I just want to leave that.
Fantastic. And Dr. Abdul Muhammad, the Muslims, Muslim Association of Barbados, actually, I should say, do you and does the association believe that we are living in the last days?
Well, it's interesting. I just somehow begin to like to follow Dr. Rogers here because what he's saying is reflects what we believe in Islamic faith as well. Yeah. In terms of the pandemic, it's not first in our faith, actually. There was a pandemic at the time of the prophet, and he also instructed persons who were ill to remain where they are and persons who were outside the area not to come into the area. So there's also precedence for quarantine and isolation and stuff in the faith. In terms of the last days, similarly, as Reverend Rogers has said, it is not for us to worry about the last day, but be prepared for it. And as you said, when is it? It could be tomorrow, so repent every day. However, in Islam, like as in Christianity, we do believe that the Christ, the Antichrist, and Christ must return before the last day. So I guess every day we work one day closer to that event. But we are, as in faith of Islam, we are not concerned about the last day, but be prepared every day and put our house in order, as you said, like scouts, that whenever that happens, we are ready to face our Maker.
Fantastic stuff. We are in the last seconds, and I want to thank Pastor Eliseus Joseph, Monsignor Vincent Harcourt Blackett, Reverend Senator Dr. John Rogers, Dr. Abdul Muhammad, a fantastic intervention, and also Pastor Danforth Francis. We also earlier heard from Bishop Michael Maxwell, Bishop Marlon Jones of the Spiritual Baptist. Don't forget them, they had a say as well. And the Pentecostal Bishop Wesley Deer. I'm Barry Wilkinson, and it's been brilliant having the opportunity again to host Brass Tack Sunday. My producer, Dennis Johnson, Keith Goddard, and of course, our overall boss, David Ellis. I'm saying thank you so much for joining. I'll be back hopefully sometime soon as we tend to look at all of these issues affecting and impacting upon Barbados and the wider region. I'm Barry Wilkinson. Goodbye. God bless. Thank you so much to the panel. Until another Sunday.
Thank you.